Hey, Trevor, thanks. Good morning, everyone. On the overview page, look, we think this was a good quarter. Our environment continues to improve. We saw some encouraging signs in places like revenue passenger miles and losses declining in GE Capital. The business model's performing. We've got better margins and strong cash flow. And really, most metrics in GE Capital improved in the quarter. Keith will go through that. But losses, delinquencies, and non-earning assets all declined. We think the 2010 framework remains achievable, really with upside potential based on how we're doing at GE Capital. We see earnings growth for the balance of 2010, and we might do more restructuring and financial asset sales to position us for the future. We continue to invest in research and development and restructuring, and we really think this quarter is a pretty good testament to our ability to grow earnings and dividends in 2011 and beyond. So we feel really good about how we finish the quarter and where we're positioned. We've reviewed the next page on several times vis-a-vis GE Capital and some of the critical metrics around safe and secure. Our long-term debt funding is in great shape. We've funded about $8 billion year to date. The funding costs are low, and we feel very very good about how we're positioned here. Our commercial paper is on track. Leverage, particularly, and Keith will go through the impact of FAS 167. Is declining. Our capital structure is very strong. And the lower right really just updates our goals on ending net investment. It factors in the impact of FASB 167, the impact of the GE Capital Corporate, some of the FX pluses and minuses that change over time. If you put in those factors, we stand at $516 billion today. We reduced $22 billion in the last quarter. And we're on track, I think, for a number that we used to talk about as being $400 billion, up about $440 billion as we go through this these changes. So we're on track. We're actually ahead of plan there. You know, it boils down to about $20 or $25 billion reduction per year. And we feel like that is in great shape, and we're making good progress towards those goals. We had $17.1 billion in orders. The backlog's stable. Equipment's heading towards easier comps. Service really would have been flat except for a couple of one-time orders in transportation last year. We've got a strong pipeline of commitments. You know, a lot of our new orders are coming from outside the United States, a strong pipeline of commitments. There's a $1.2 billion Iraq order that is moved through their process. It's a solid commitment that will turn into an order in the second quarter. So, you know, that gives you a sense of some of the backlog that we've got on orders going forward. Like I said, a lot of the orders are coming from outside the United States right now. The tech infra macro environment is improving, and we feel really good about the backlog, the visibility, and our position as we go through the remainder and balance of the year. Margins were healthy in the quarter. We had expanding margins ex the Olympics. This gives you a sense of the dynamics. Energy, healthcare, home and business solutions had good expansion. Our service margins across the company expanded by 250 basis points. And NBC, because the Olympics was a drag on margins overall. A lot of that's driven by a positive value gap. We're holding price and backlog. We're seeing positive new order pricing on the index and still getting deflation, and we think this positive value gap will continue into the future. And then restructuring benefits continue to pay off. We saw about $500 million based on a lot of the work we've been doing in the last few years, and that will continue into the future. We're investing more in research and development. We grew R&D spend by 16% in the quarter. We're launching offshore wind, new healthcare products, energy-efficient products in transportation and appliances, and again, a great pipeline of products as we go forward in the future. And cash flow remains on track. We're on track for $14 to $15 billion for the year. Our cash flow from operating activities expanded greater than our net income plus depreciation. And we think as we work through the year, working capital improvements will offset declines in progress. That's what we did last year, and we think we'll do that again this year. We've got $70 billion of cash on the balance sheet, more than $10 billion of cash on the parent, and cash at the parent. And as I said, we're on track for $13 to $15 billion of full year cash flow from operating activities. With that, I'll turn it over to Keith to go through how we did in the first quarter from a performance standpoint.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to start with just the consolidated results summary, as always. For the quarter, we had continuing operations revenues of $36.6 billion. They were down 5%. Our industrial sales at $23.5 billion were down 2%, a little less than the average, because the financial services revenues were down more, that at $13.2 billion, down 9%, reflecting some of the dispositions we did last year, plus the continued shrinkage that we have. We earned $2.3 billion in net income, which was down 18%. And for earnings per share, we earned 21 cents a share, including the cost of the preferred dividend. As Jeff just covered on cash, the total cash flow from operating activities was $2.6 billion. That's in line with our expectations and on track for our total year estimate. In terms of taxes, the consolidated rate for the first quarter is 15% for the company. That's up from a negative 12% in 2009, since we don't have a repeat of last year's first quarter decision where we agreed to permanently reinvest some prior year earnings. That was $700 million one-time benefit last year that doesn't repeat. Having that item not repeat pretty much explains all the tax variance for the whole company, first quarter 2010 versus first quarter 2009. G tax rate's basically the same as 2009. We expect the G rate for the full year to be in the mid to high 20s, a bit lower than what we had in the first quarter. And the JECS rate for the first quarter goes from a large positive rate in 2009 to a large negative rate in 2010. The negative G capital rate 10 reflects the fact that we have a tax benefit or a credit which is larger than the pre-tax income amount. However, it's significantly lower than the credit that we had in the first quarter of 2009, almost $800 million lower tax credits in GE Capital, even with the $600 million of income we generated, so a big improvement. On the right side are the segment results. Our industrial businesses, X-Media, had $2.9 billion of segment profit. You can see that's down 4% from last year, similar to our fourth quarter results. And I'll cover more on each of these businesses in the next few pages, as always. NBC Universal was down, driven by the Olympics. I'll show you the impact of that. And G Capital earned $607 million, down 41%, but with positive pre-tax income, lower tax benefits, and better credit profile, which I'll describe in the next several pages. Before I get into the business highlights, here's a summary of the first quarter items that impacted our results. As you can see, the items are significantly less than we've had the past several quarters. First, we did continue to do restructuring in the first quarter, and we had 2 cents after tax of restructuring and other charges. You know, we're investing in reducing our footprint, lowering our cost structure. The major businesses where we had the restructuring, G Capital had about $60 million of this. Home and Business Solutions had $32 million. Energy Infrastructure had $22 million, and Tech and NBC were less than $10 million each. The balance was in corporate. We had some environmental projects that we funded. And if you look at the biggest projects in the quarter, we had some business exits and non-core banking in G Capital and some equipment leasing platforms in G Capital. And we also continued footprint reductions in lighting and in energy. Our gains in the quarter were driven by really two things. We had a sale of the security business, which closed in the quarter, contributed about 1 cent. And we had a few other transactions. It's primarily a licensing income aviation transaction related to a service shop in China that was a little less than a full cent. Down in discontinued operations, as you know, in the third quarter of 2008, we sold our finance company in Japan to Shinsei. So since then, we basically have an agreement where we share losses up to a certain amount. We had a $380 million reserve increase in the quarter on the gray zone liability for discontinued operations. Basically, we update our models every quarter. In the second quarter of last year, we added about $130 million to the reserves based on the claims we saw at the time. If you think about the economy in Japan, has been very tough. In addition, there's recent and upcoming legislative and regulatory changes that are affecting gray zone claims in Japan. And we saw increases in our overall claims experience over the last several months. And as a result, we updated our models. We booked to our range what we think might happen in the future. And we'll keep you updated as we continue to monitor gray zone events going forward in Japan. But that's discontinued operations. I'm going to start with GE Capital. Mike Neal and the team, we think they had a very good quarter, considering the environment we're dealing with, the tough comparisons to actions we took last year in the first quarter that don't repeat. Revenues at $12.3 billion were down 10%, driven principally by the Penske disposition last year. We no longer consolidate that and get the revenue. Segment profit of $607 million was down 41%, but we more than offset the impact of $750 million of one-time positives last year from tax credits and that Penske gain. We offset those one-time items with lower credit costs, higher core income, lower SG&A costs, and better margins. And I'll cover more of that by each of the businesses. Assets of $617 billion were on a reported basis up 1%, but that includes the impact of consolidating $31 billion of assets from FAS 167. So really the business shrinkage offset that, and also $29 billion from foreign exchange translation year over year. So on an operating basis, the team shrunk GE Capital by over $53 billion over the last 12 months, with collections exceeding originations ahead of plan, as Jeff said. If you look at some of the individual businesses on the bottom left, I'll take you through pieces on each of those first. The consumer business earned $593 million in the quarter. That was down 20%. The U.S. business had an excellent quarter. Tax credits were down $530 million year-over-year in consumer, and those were mostly offset by lower credit losses of about $375 million and $100 million of lower costs. Our North American retail finance business earned $293 million, up 70%. That's driven by lower credit losses. Banking earned $183 million. That was basically flat. It was down 2%. Our U.K. home lending business earned $40 million in the first quarter, which is another positive sign. And we earned a little over $100 million in Australia in the consumer business in the quarter. Real estate had a loss of $400 million in the quarter. While that's better than the $593 million of loss that we had last year in the fourth quarter, we're still in a very challenging environment. We had $137 million of after-tax credit losses on our debt book, and we had $387 million of after-tax marks and impairments driven by our equity book. We are seeing some signs that the expected continued valuation declines are abating. However, if you look at real estate, we expect this to remain under pressure for the foreseeable future. The commercial lending and leasing business had a good quarter. CLL earned $232 million. That was down 3%. But that's where we had last year's $285 million gain from the Penske transaction. So to be down only 3%, Dan Henson and his team almost overcame all of that with $139 million less negative marks and impairments and $100 million growth in core income, including again, lower credit costs. GECAS had another great quarter. Earnings of $317 million were up 21%, driven by higher core income and a few aircraft sales. We ended the quarter, again, with only three aircraft on the ground, so good credit quality and portfolio quality there. Energy Financial Services also had a great quarter, driven by about $80 million of higher gains from the sale of some Marcellus Shale gas rights. On the right side of the page, if you look at some of the dynamics, our funding's in great shape, as Jeff showed you. Our spreads have come in significantly. Our origination is strong. We completed over $7 billion of commercial volume in the quarter at about a 3% return on investment. We're really pleased with the pre-tax pre-provision improvement. You can see the numbers here. And overall, GE Capital Corp had $200 million of positive pre-tax income overall, which is a great sign and a positive as we go forward. Our credit losses are down from $2.9 billion in Q4 to $2.3 billion. That includes the impact of FAS 167, and coverage is at near all-time highs at 2.61%. So you can tell we're feeling better about GE Capital, and I'm going to run through some of the detailed pages on the impact of FAS 167, on our asset quality, and our losses and expectations for losses. As you all know, we adopted FAS 167 as of 1/1/2010. As a result of the accounting, we've consolidated the assets and non-recourse liabilities from our off-book securitization entities, and this page highlights the impact on financial statements. First, the balance sheet. As we previously disclosed, we put $31 billion of assets on the balance sheet at 1/1. That was split about $18 billion of commercial assets and $13 billion of consumer assets. If you include the retained interest, which was already on our books, the majority of these assets have gone into financing receivables. So we added about $40 billion to financing receivables. And we added a line in the liabilities section of the balance sheet for the non-recourse securitization debt. In addition, we added $1.7 billion to the receivable reserves as of 1/1, and I'll show you how that impacted us by the end of the quarter. And the impact on our leverage and capital ratios was very small, as you can see in the measurements here. And we gave you the details of these measurements in the supplemental schedules. Our reserve coverage went up a small amount, reflecting the mix of consumer assets. And as we showed you in December at the GE Capital update, going forward from January 1 through the year, now we have the earnings from the higher unbooked assets. That's going to be mostly offset by not having any more securitization gains. And in 2009, on a comparable basis, we had $1.2 billion of securitization gains that will be zero in 2010. So I'll show you more on this in the reserve coverage page coming up, but it's pretty much exactly what we had previously disclosed on 167. On portfolio quality, an update on delinquencies and non-earning assets that we give you every quarter. On the left side are the commercial equipment finance delinquencies. 30-day plus delinquencies for equipment are down 10 basis points from Q4 to Q1. It's driven by the Americas. Delinquency was down 18 basis points in the Americas, and for Europe and Asia, the delinquencies were about flat. X-167, commercial non-earning assets declined $300 million in Q1 versus Q4. We had $700 million of declines in CLL and GCAS, offset by a $400 million increase in real estate. So we continue to see non-earnings go up in real estate, offset by non-earning declines across the rest of the commercial portfolio. Real estate delinquencies did go up 75 basis points in the quarter to a little under 5%, and non-earners were up $500 million, including 167, as I said. On the right side, you can see the delinquency data for consumer. In total, delinquencies were down 13 basis points in the quarter. That was driven by a 43 basis point decline in North American retail delinquencies. Mortgage delinquencies rose 23 basis points, driven by an increase in our Australia and New Zealand portfolio. In ANZ, we consolidated some call service centers during the fourth quarter and the first quarter, and we had some operational issues. I'd say they're not really indicative of the portfolio itself. We continue to have mortgage insurance across the entire portfolio, and we believe the delinquency trend will level back off in Q2 when we get the call centers back in line. The real positive in mortgages, though, comes in the UK. You can see the 30-day delinquencies declined 65 basis points in the quarter, and we continue to realize net gains versus our marks on our foreclosed properties, which is a good sign. Global banking delinquencies were flat at 4.53%, pretty stable. And overall consumer non-earnings were also down. They were down $400 million ex-FAS 167, and the overall percent of non-earnings declined by 19 basis points. So, you know, pretty good signs of continued stabilization across a very broad portfolio of commercial and consumer receivables. Next, an update on reserve coverage. Reserves ended the quarter at $9.5 billion, and coverage increased to 2.61%. Here's where you do see some impact of the 167 consolidations. At the end of the quarter, we had $1.5 billion of reserves that were associated with the newly consolidated receivables. $1.4 billion of that relates to consumers, so you can get a feel for the mix. We booked $2.3 billion of provision for losses in the quarter. That was flat with last year's Q1, but it was down $600 million from Q4. And write-offs in Q1 were $2.4 billion. And that leaves us with the $8 billion of reserves, X-167. So there's no release of reserves in the quarter. Write-offs were $100 million higher than the provision, X-167. And with 167, we're up to $9.5 billion of reserves. If you look on the right side, the commercial reserves are flat with a strong coverage ratio and lower delinquencies and non-earnings. And consumer reserves are down slightly, but the coverage is up as we continue to shrink the consumer book. And both North American retail and global mortgage are flat or improved on coverage. So having these reserves at these levels, 2.61, approaching historic highs for total coverage for the company. Next, I think I'll finish GE Capital section with just another update on the sub-business dynamics. These are from the presentation that Mike Neal gave in December and then Jeff and I updated in January. Most of the outlook has not changed. You can see that there's two places where we think the outlook has improved based on what we see, and that'd be for our U.S. consumer and for our vertical businesses. For commercial lending and leasing, we continue to see improving portfolio quality metrics. In the first quarter, we had $500 million of losses. That's below last year's run rate, and we originated $700 million more volume than last year at good margins. For the U.S. consumer, we now have a few quarters of improving data. Our entry into loss is at very low levels, historic low levels. Delinquencies are improving, and we continue to see the book decline a bit, which helps on losses overall. Our losses in the quarter were $400 million. Also very, very positive, well below last year's run rate. So that is one place where we think things have improved versus what we saw in December and January. Global banking remains stable. Losses are in line with our fourth quarter view, not really a change there. UK mortgage continues to stabilize. I think we're getting continued positive trend data as the delinquencies have rolled over and started to decline. But, you know, we still are cautious there. We want to continue to watch what happens with house prices and unemployment in the UK before we get a full recovery. Verticals, I'd say this is another area where we think things have actually improved from our December and January outlook. GCAS and the energy financial services business are both performing better in Q1, and the outlook remains positive. And even in the airline industry where we have some restructurings, we're managing those within our plan. Commercial real estate remains tough. Although the pace of the valuation declines is moderating, as you see in the press, we still had $600 million of impairments in Q1, and that would be above our original total year estimate if that run rate continues. Overall, though, if you think about the metrics around delinquencies, non-earnings, losses, reserve coverage, everything appears to be heading in a positive direction here for GE Capital. One final point on capital. Our historical practice is that we provide summary financial information for GE Capital Services, or JECS, when we announce the GE earnings. That's the summary registrant. Starting today, we're also going to be providing that information for GE Capital Corp., and we're going to be filing an 8-K sometime today with more income statement and balance sheet details, so you don't have to wait for the 10-Q for that information. The other thing is, now that GE Capital Finance equals GE Capital Corporation, things are just a lot simpler, and you'll see that in our reporting. Next, I'll shift from GE Capital, go into the other businesses. I'll start with NBC. If you look for the quarter, revenues of $4.3 billion were up 23%, and segment profit of $199 million was down 49%. You can see over on the right side, if you adjust for the impact of the Vancouver Olympics, revenues were flat with last year, and segment profit was up 1%. You know, Jeff Zucker and the team did a great job in the quarter. Dick Ebersole and his team did a great job with the Olympics. The ratings were up 14% versus Torino. We had around $800 million of revenue, and as we said previously, we thought the loss would be somewhere around $250 million in the quarter. In the end, the sales were better. We had a loss in the quarter of $223 million on a 100% basis, or $194 million at the GE level. In the quarter, cable continued its leadership performance. Revenues of $1.2 billion were up 3%, and segment profit was up 4%, led by entertainment. USA had its 15th straight quarter as number one. Bravo posted its 18th consecutive quarter ratings growth. Oxygen had its highest ratings quarter ever. And even on the cable news, the revenue and op profit was flat in the quarter. Pretty good performance in this environment. CNBC continued its lead in business news. And NBC had a few milestones. We beat CNN and Prime for the quarter and total day for March. If you go to broadcast, revenues of $2 billion were up, driven by the Olympics, and the op profit was down, driven by the Olympics, the same reason, as I said, for the total business. We're seeing some really good recovery in the ad market. Local ad market was up 10% in the fourth quarter. Local ad market was up 15% in the first quarter. Scatter's up over 20% on both the network and on cable, leading into the upfront, and that's a really good outlook as we go into the upfront. You might have missed this. We did a lot of shuffling in the lineup in the first quarter. You may not realize it, but we are reprogramming at 10 p.m. Ratings are up 45%. And Jay Leno's back in late night, and he regained his number one position. So lots of progress heading into the mid-May upfronts here. Film and Park showed a lot of signs of improvement in the first quarter. Revenue was up 14%, and op profit was flat. The box office results for the movies did fall short of our expectations, but that was partially offset by less second quarter pre-promotion for movies. And DVDs had a good quarter. We had 5 million units led by Couples Retreat. Parks also had a good quarter, highlighted by the opening of the Universal branded park in Singapore. And we had slightly lower attendance overall in the two parks, but that was mostly offset by higher per capita spending. Now, digital had some continue to have some highlights. Hulu remains the number two video site, and it's had continued strong growth. And we're working our way through the regulatory reviews for NBCU with the Comcast deal. And we're just going to continue to cooperate with the FCC and the Department of Justice. The hearings in Congress have concluded, and we're into the comment periods now. And it's just a long, steady process, and we'll cooperate fully, as will Comcast. So overall, Jeff Zucker and the team accomplished a lot this quarter. The Olympics gave us a great platform to revamp 10 p.m. and late night, and the ad market outlook continues to improve. Next is tech infrastructure. Here, the headline results for John Rice and the team look more challenging than they really are because we had some one-time items from last year that don't repeat. We covered those a lot last year in the first quarter, and I'll cover it more in detail when I get to aviation. But the reported numbers of revenue down 9 and segment profit down 18 are more like revenue down 6 and segment profit down 1 when you adjust just for the aviation business transactions. So operationally, the business is clearly doing better than the headline numbers here. If you look by business, I'll start with aviation. First quarter orders of $4.5 billion, they were down 12% year-over-year. Major equipment orders of $2.1 billion were down 21%. We had $600 million of commercial orders and $1 billion of military orders. Military orders were down about 9%. The backlog ended the quarter at $19.8 billion, flat with the Q4, and down 9% from last year. Service orders were down 3%. Commercial spare parts orders were 19.3 million per day, which was reported down 11. But if you adjust for the 2009 Aviol order, which we also covered last year, they'd be up about 1%. Military service orders were down about 8%. So if you look in the first quarter last year, we did have two transactions. We sold the Times Microwave business, and we had a gain in our ATI service business. This year in the first quarter, we had a gain from a service licensing facility in China. As I mentioned, if you look, last year's gains were $362 million positive. This year's gain was $74 million positive. If you adjust for those, revenue would have been down 8%. Segment profit would have been up 1% on an operating basis. So if you look at the results in the quarter on revenue and op profit, the impact of the lower volume, we had higher R&D spending, and that was more than offset by positive pricing and variable cost productivity if you take out the deals. Healthcare, the healthcare team had another strong quarter. Orders of $3.8 billion were up 5%, and equipment orders were up 8%. Diagnostic imaging orders were up 10% in the quarter. For total orders, EMEA was up 7%. It's broad global growth. Asia was up 20%. China was up 28%. India was up 54%. The U.S. was flat. We saw equipment orders down 2%, service orders up 3%. And the U.S. equipment orders definitely slowed from the 9% growth we saw in the fourth quarter. And it looks like when you go back and look at the fourth quarter, some of that strength came from hospitals and budget timing that didn't carry into the first quarter as positive as we were expecting. Still, you look at the quarter for the team, the revenue of $3.7 billion was up 5%. That was driven by the equipment revenue up 6% and service up 4%. And segment profit was up 20%, 21%, as the team delivered strong productivity and the volume more than offset the price pressure. And we entered Q2 with a pretty good backlog, a healthy increase in the backlog. Transportation, this business continues to be impacted by just a really tough environment. Orders of $936 million were flat. We had strong equipment orders, $440 million. Those were up $290 million, driven by locomotive orders internationally. We had one great order in South Africa, 100 locomotive kits that generated most of the positive on equipment. And that was offset by service orders. They were down from the lack of the comparable order to last year's $300 million China wind gearbox order. So flat overall equipment versus service. Revenues of $766 million were down 35%. That's driven by the equipment being down 50%. We shipped 79 locomotives this year in the quarter versus 183 last year. And service revenues were also down 20% because of the lower overhaul activity. Segment profit of $115 million, that was down 47%. It's really just driven by the lower volume and higher NPI spending. And we are seeing signs of real pickup in our activity from the North American customers, which obviously will be positive as we reduce the slack in the system and the all the parked locomotives. So overall for the tech infrastructure business, you know, we see some early signs of improvement in aviation traffic, rail freight traffic, and the normalized operating results are as we expected in the quarter. Next is energy. John Kornicki and the energy team just had another great quarter. Revenues of $8.7 billion were down 5%, and with strong margin expansion, they delivered segment profit of $1.5 billion, up 12%. You can see the business results on the bottom left, both positive for energy, oil, and gas, and I'll cover energy first. Energy orders of $6.2 billion, they were down 15% versus last year. As Jeff mentioned, we had $1.2 billion worth of orders from Iraq slip from Q1 into Q2. That would have led to orders being down 2%, the most positive improvement in the trend. Even though the trends continue to improve sequentially for energy, that would have really changed the dynamics here. So we're going to get that order in the second quarter. It's after the election. It got caught up in some administrative processes, and that will be a very big positive for the quarter. Thermal orders of $500 million, they were down 56%. We had orders for 10 gas turbines versus 18 last year. And the Iraq order was for an additional 25 gas turbines, so that's important for our backlog. Wind orders of $1.2 billion, they were down 28%. We had orders for 494 wind turbines versus 724 last year. And a couple of positives on orders. Aeroderivative orders were up 17%, and Yenbacher orders were up 12%. Order prices for thermal were down 1%, and for wind they were up 6%. Service orders in the business were down 5%, driven by lower spare parts and tough comparisons driven by a large Iraq service order last year that didn't repeat. Revenue down 7%, driven by the lower volume. Thermal unit revenue was down 14%, really driven by lower balance of plant shipments. It's about $400 million of non-GE content that didn't repeat, so it's not a lot of margin. That helps with the margin leverage that you see, even though the revenue's down. We shipped 41 gas turbines versus 42 last year, and wind units were down to 349 from 433 last year, and service revenues were flat. So segment profit was up 12. That's driven by positive value gap. We had over $200 million of positive price in the energy business and $100 million of deflation, which more than offset the impact of the lower volume. For oil and gas, Claudia Santiago and the oil and gas team had another strong quarter. Orders of $2 billion were up 8%. We continue to see very strong global demand. Equipment orders of $1.1 billion were up 1%, and service orders of $900 million were up 19%, driven by our expansion of our long-term service contracts growth in countries like Nigeria, Malaysia, and Egypt. Revenues of $1.6 billion were up 3%, and the equipment revenue was down 2%, but service revenues were up 11%, driven by strong rotating parts overhaul and upgrades. And segment profit of $191 was up 7%, also driven by the positive value gap. So another very strong quarter from the energy team. And finally, Charlene Begley and the Home and Business Solutions team had another strong quarter. Revenues of $1.9 billion were up 1%. Segment profit of $71 million was up 58%. Lighting had a good quarter for us. It was driven by the restructuring benefits that we invested in last year and continue to invest in this year. We also had strong global demand and some price, positive price. Revenue was up 10%, and lighting made about a third of the op profit in the quarter. Appliance revenue was down 4%. Retail sales were about flat. Contract was down 16%. We continue to see a challenge in multifamily housing, but appliances are in the other two-thirds of the profit in the quarter. If you look, we continue to launch new energy-efficient products to drive growth. We've got the LED side-by-side refrigerator for the second quarter, and other E-Star refrigeration models are also being launched. E-Star is an interesting program. It's a program that's put in place to incent manufacturers to develop energy-efficient products in the U.S., and we continue to invest in building those products. Our net income was up over 2 times last year's Q1, driven by the E-Star credits. So overall, a great performance for the Home and Business Solutions. And with that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith. Thanks. So, you know, we've been using a framework to describe how we look at the company and how we view it going forward. And I just wanted to give an update of the framework. We talked about industrial earnings for the year being about flat. We think we're on track there. Good new products and service growth and lower cost, global expansion. There's still some excess capacity in certain sectors, but we feel pretty good about where we're positioned as the recovery continues. Media we have is negative. We think our worst quarter is behind us with the Olympics. Cable continues to be strong. The ad markets, as Keith said, have real strength. Film remains challenged, but we should see growth in NBCU through the balance of the year. We had GE Capital as flat in the framework. Clearly, this is going to grow for the year. We're well positioned for upside. As Keith said, commercial real estate is challenged, but valuation declines are moderating, and we think this will be now a positive for the year. Corporate we had as flat. You know, I think everything in corporate is as we expected. We may use this as an opportunity to position to do some more restructuring. Cash between 13 and 15, we think we're on track for that with working capital improvements offsetting lower progress payments. So, you know, we would view the 2010 framework as achievable with upside potential. The earnings growth for the remainder of 2010 will be there, so the company, you know, will show earnings growth over that time period. And we may do more restructuring and financial asset sales as we look forward to the future. So, look, we feel good about the quarter, and we feel good about the way the team performed in the quarter, and we think the quarter says a lot of good things about the company going forward. You know, the last page, you know, from an investor standpoint, in terms of how we manage the GE team, you know, we've talked about two keys. One is an attractive financial profile as we come through the downturn of you know, earnings from going from 09 to 10, and then as we get the GE Capital snapback and recovery, good growth in 11 and 12, and just the massive amount of financial flexibility we have from a cash standpoint. With you know, $10 billion plus on the balance sheet now, we should have about $25 billion by the end of 2010 if we complete the Comcast transaction, and then more cash available as time goes on. So, you know, these are the ways that I manage the GE team. This is very important from an investor standpoint. And then, so what do we know about these things from the first quarter? Let me just recap. You know, the GE Capital losses seem to have peaked. And commercial real estate losses are manageable. And I think that's an important investor key in terms of how you think about looking at the company going forward. I think that leads to the second point is, you know, earnings growth for GE should be positive for the balance of 10. The GE capital rebound has begun, and the macro industrial indicators are improving. So, you know, I just think we've turned the corner here. We're well positioned, and I think GE Capital's improvement gives us some spring in our step, and we feel good about that. The combination of strong operations and dispositions are generating substantial cash at GE. You know, again, this is not something. This is just happening. You know, this is just happening as we speak, and this will continue to accumulate through the year. And we have choices. You know, I think we've already said that we want to grow the dividend in line with earnings in 2011. The potential remains for redemption of the preferred stock. We've got opportunities for a buyback as time goes on. We always review strategic acquisitions, and we will always, you know, keep GE Capital safe and secure. So we just have tremendous cash optionality for the rest of the year. So I leave you this quarter just with this vision of the company, of an attractive financial profile with lots of financial flexibility. And I think the first quarter just demonstrates that we're well on the way to this kind of performance in the future. So with that, Trevor, I'll turn it over to you, and
great,
we'll take some questions.
Great. Thanks, Jeff and Keith. Noelia, we're ready to open the lines for questions now.